Blog Talk Radio.
Because we are live. Arena Football Friday, Week 18 action starts right now. I'm Evan Vladim, and joining me as always is BJ Picard, straight from the AFL League office in Chicago, Illinois. BJ, how you doing on this beautiful Friday?
What was that?
It was techno music.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. But I'm doing tremendous.
You're doing tremendous.
Yeah, it's a hot one out there, though.
We got a heat wave.
We really do.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
We had record highs this week. And
I spent my 4th of July inside in the air conditioning, enjoying it.
I'm a lobster. I got a bit sunburned on the 4th of July. It was hot, but, you know, this is going to be a hot Week 18 in the Arena Football League. Like we say, as always, it's not hot in those arenas, and we have some great games for you this week, and we actually have a great show lined up. We have two special guests that are set to join us today. PJ Barry and Nick Davila will be joining us shortly. So we saw some action this week in the AFL coaches poll. You know, the top five spots, they remain the same. The Arizona Rattlers had a big victory over the Spokane Shock. They received 14 first-place votes. The Philadelphia Soul came in at number two first-place votes. San Antonio came in at number three with one first-place vote. How do you like the coach's decision this week?
I mean, it's been the same top five now for, three straight weeks. So I think you see the elite teams starting to distance themselves from the teams that are maybe just along for the ride. The top three teams, though, playing very good football, Philadelphia, Arizona, and San Antonio. They're the three teams that are in the playoffs right now.
And Arizona does have a big matchup against the Utah Blaze tonight, and that'll be a test for them.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great showdown. Tommy Grady, Nick Davila, it's going to be an awesome game.
I'm pumped up for that one. We saw San Jose jump back in the top five in the Week 18 power rankings after a big victory over the Chicago Rush, and with that victory, now they still can play for the AFL playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And that loss hurt Chicago. You know, we said last week on the podcast that whoever wins that game is probably sitting good for the playoffs. Whoever loses is going to have a tough run. Now Chicago, you know, they've got San Antonio here this weekend, so things aren't going to get any easier for them. If they lose, that could be it. And if they win, they're actually still in the hunt. So it's going to be a good game on Sunday.
I'm excited to see Aaron Garcia out here. It's incredible. Year after year, guy getting done in this, and the story doesn't get old. 41 years old, 18 years in the league, and this guy can still throw the football around like no other. One of the best quarterbacks in the AFL, and he's really leading the talent to great success this season. I mean, they're looking for a spot in the Arena Bowl yet again.
Yeah, I mean, 203 games for Aaron Garcia this weekend, and he always keeps him in the game, no matter what. You got Aaron Garcia, you're always in the game.
And Lawrence Samuels right now holds the record for most games played, 207.
Yes.
Garcia,
I believe he would need to come back next year to break the record.
He will need to come back, and what do you think? Is he going to do it?
I don't know. I mean, he's still playing well.
He's playing some great football. Now on the line, we have the man, the myth, the Superman, PJ Barry. PJ, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. So you guys have taken over Market Square in downtown Pittsburgh. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. Actually, it was kind of epic, man. We took over Market Square, had the fans come out, had music playing. We had the blow-up walls, our practice walls out there. And, just had our regular walkthrough, but let the fans interact with us and see what we do on our Friday walkthroughs.
So you guys right now sitting in at 4-11, a disappointing season to say the least. Tell me about your thoughts of the power season.
Man, my thoughts. I don't think I can really talk about all my thoughts in this brief time we have. But coming to the season, you know, Coach Sig always say, you know, this is probably the best recruiting job he's ever done. And I probably have to agree with him. We have the talented receivers we had, the talented DBs we had, and our quarterbacks. And we had Kyle, we still have Drake now. You know, we had talent everywhere. D-line, O-line, and it really broke our hearts and broke our backs to have to be the first team to sit out. We didn't want to. We really wanted to play. But, you know, we had to go with the union, go to the league. Had to take that all on our shoulders, and you know, we suffered the consequences for losing, you know, I mean, majority of our team. And with that said, majority of our team, a lot of key players. You know, we lost 2 DBs. Of course, we lost Cal. We lost our kicker. We lost O-linemen, some D-linemen. So it's like we had to rebuild where everybody else had their original team. But we had to rebuild from scratch in the middle of a season, well, in the beginning of a season.
So I know you've been looking around at the league. I mean, playing week in, week out, seeing how other teams are doing. We have Nick Dabla joining us shortly, facing Tommy Grady tonight. Who, in your mind, is the best quarterback in the AFL?
In my mind? Honestly, I mean, you have to go with it. You have to go with, you know, the legend, you know, down in San Antonio, Garcia. You have to go. You know, Nick, he's right up there in that echelon too. He's become a legend in his own right in Arizona. And I mean, Cal just threw a 12 touchdowns 2 weeks ago, so he's a good quarterback. But yeah, those three, you put him up there. But I'm not gonna lie, like the people just give him a chance and see what he's doing. And Rico Hines, he just, you know, got a bad, you know, rep for getting hurt, then he lost his job on that way. But I see him every day in practice and seeing what he does in games, and he's just a field general out there. But I would go with those three, and then, you know, also Drake is close to fourth team.
So I know we got to ask this question, reigning Iron Man of the Year. Year week after week, we're talking about you on this radio show. Your name comes up for that Iron Man award. We've been talking at the league level about returning back to Iron Man football. Tell me about your thoughts of Iron Man football and possibly returning to the original AFL with that Iron Man football.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you thank you for even bringing me up. That's awesome. I appreciate that for bringing me up every week after week. But I saw that on Twitter. You know, I have some thoughts on it. You know, not specifically the thoughts are like, oh, I hope they don't do it. I wish they would do it. It's just that the game evolves and changes all the time. The NFL is changing. You know, it used to be back in the day. Well, our coach actually, Derek Stingley, his father, the first paraplegic, by Jack, hit him and, you know, cost him his legs actually. So nowadays the NFL, you know, you see all these rules like you can't hit below here, you can't hit up here in the head, and the quarterback rules. So the game is always changing. So when they change the game to not being Iron Man football to the way where, you know, have two-way players, I mean, that's what they want to do. And if we do go back to that, I mean, I understand it because I guess, you know, that's what we got a niche at an arena. It was Iron Man football, you know, two-way players. But, you know, would it be as exciting? Because these guys aren't, they're DBs, but they play receivers. They're receivers, but they play DBs. So would it be as a upper echelon sport to where you see great athletes at their position? You know, I mean, I understand it's fun. You know, we can say, oh, we play Ironman football. We play both ways. This is our league. True. But still, is it the best player at that position? Because his position might be DB, straight DB. But then he has to go to receiver. So he's not catching the ball as good as a regular receiver or running routes that are crisp as a true receiver. So, you know, I'm back and forth with it. I mean, I like the way the game is right now. And with me personally, yeah, I can go play DB. I mean, I got an interception this year, and I had to go in, you know, because one of my guys got hurt. But I'm not a DB. You know, I'm not going to form tackle everybody like the other DBs. I'm not going to take hot motion in 18 times in a game and only get scored on twice. It's just not me. So, I mean, I like it the way it is. I'm glad it's that way. Because if it was Ironman football, I probably wouldn't be in this league, honestly. There's just a lot of people probably wouldn't be.
Now, for you, obviously, taking a lot of kick returns, returning them to the house, tell me about how you see those gaps. Do those gaps open more in the game of arena football than the outdoor game? Or, you know, tell me about what you're seeing when you're returning that football off the net.
Well, you know, the gaps are open more in indoor football than the outdoor because, of course, you know, the field is wider. So we have more gaps. But and when we block it correctly, all right, yeah, the gap does open. It's quite like the Red Sea, but it's very rare, you know, to have seven guys get every block and perfect blocks. But when you come off the net, man, you just got to trust your blockers and get the hole running full speed. You know, kind of this year has been a down year because, again, you know, we have guys that haven't been on kickoff and they want to do good for me because they know my reputation with that. But, you know, when you come off the net, you got to trust your personal protector to get that hot guy. And you got to know where your blocking scheme is, the left return, right return, or middle. You know what your blocking scheme is and know where you're trying to get to. And once you get past the first level in the arena, it's kind of a wrap. But it's just you and the kicker. And, you know, I always joked on this. I never let the kicker block him because you can't come back to the sideline after that. But in the arena, then outdoor, you have two levels on kickoff return. You got the first level and the second level on kickoff return outdoor in arena. Once you get past that first level, you only have, what, 25, 30 yards left to go. And it's just you and the kicker. So that's the main part is getting bursting through the hole, getting to your blocking schemes, get past that first level, and just make the kick and miss.
DJ Barry, we appreciate you joining us today. Good luck against Tampa Bay tomorrow night, and enjoy the rest of the season. Hey, will you be coming out to New Orleans for the Arena Bowl this year?
I definitely will. You know, I lived there a couple of years ago, played there last year, have family there, so. I talked to Alvin Ray, you know, actually want to give a shout out to him, too, because he has 12 picks this year at Jack. So I got to consider him for a player of the year. I mean, at Jack and having 12 picks, and he had, what, three more games left? So, you know, I want to give him a shout out. He plays for New Orleans. But definitely we'll be going to the Arena Bowl, and thank you for having me, and I'll see you there when I'm there.
All right, PJ, man, we appreciate it. Like I said, good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
DJ Barry. Is he going to be the Iron Man of the Year this year?
I don't know. He's in the conversation. I mean, there are a lot of guys that have also been doubling up as kick returners, and then there are some guys like Marcus Everett, Huey Whitaker, who have been playing both offense and defense.
On that note, we'll go straight out to Arizona. Nick Davila, how you doing today?
Good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
You've already clinched a playoff berth. Tonight, you have a huge matchup against Tommy Grady and the Utah Blaze. If you win, you'll clinch the first round of the playoffs. You'll clinch it at home. How important is home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, you know, you always want to play in front of your fans, and, you know, that's the ninth man, and it's very important for us to get this win against Utah and also get rolling in the late part of the season as every team wants to be doing going into the playoffs.
You guys are on a 7-game winning streak. Last year made that Arena Bowl appearance, didn't turn out the way you guys wanted. What makes this year's Arizona Rattlers a different squad from last year? Are you guys more mature? Is it your turn to become Arena Bowl champions this year?
Well, you know, we just got to take it one step at a time and I think we're a lot more focused this year, and you know, we're just keeping our eye on the prize. And you know, the reason why you went to play a football game is to win championships, sports period. And so you know, we're just trying to take it one step at a time. And tonight it's the first chapter, and it's Utah, so we got to match their intensity. They're also having a great year, and I know they got a nice little winning streak going, and you know, they're a good team, so we got to match their intensity, like I said.
How's your boy Maurice Purify doing?
He's doing good. You know, he's running around, and, you know, we'll see.
And obviously, late in the season, seems like with your receivers, the injury bug might have set in. You have guys stepping up, Kerry Reed, Jason Gethers joining the team, and Marquis White. How are these guys filling that void, obviously, hearing the news that Trandon Harvey is going to IR again?
You know, it's football and people are going to get injured, but, you know, I believe in the guys that we have here that are playing receiver. And, you know, when somebody, you know, gets hurt, the next man up, and you have to take advantage of your opportunities. And, You know, I think that's what we've been doing so far, and just got to keep rolling.
What is the biggest key to be a successful quarterback in the AFL? Obviously, you're showing you're one of the most successful quarterbacks in the AFL year after year, obviously grown since your rookie season. But what is that key to be a successful AFL quarterback?
Well, you just got to prepare like a champion and prepare like a professional. You know, the game is going to be a lot quicker. So if you come from the outdoor game to this game, you really got to put your work in learning the game and also learning when to take a shot and when to get rid of the ball. And, you know, my offensive line has been doing a great job of protecting me, and all my receivers have been doing a good job of catching the rock and getting yak yards. So, you know, I can't take the credit for all by myself. You know, it's a team sport, and, you know, you just got to, like I said, just take what the defense gives you and get that ball out of your hands as quick as you can.
Nick, you're three touchdown passes shy of becoming the first quarterback in pro football history to record three consecutive 100 touchdown seasons. Last year, you were National Guard MVP of the year. What do all the accolades mean to you?
You know, it's very nice to see your hard work and see that people, you know, notice that. But for me, I can't take all the credit. You know, like I said, my offensive line has been doing a great job of protecting for me. And my receivers have been doing a great job of making plays when I get them the rock. And, you know, also my defense has been giving me opportunities to get back on that field. You know, they've been playing great. So, you know, it's a team, it's an individual award, but at the same time, it's a team sport, and I can't take credit for everything. And another thing is all this stuff is good, but, you know, my take on a quarterback is the best quarterbacks are always measured on how many how much they can win and how many championships they got. So that's why, you know, you got to keep working hard.
What are you looking at in tonight's match up against Tommy Grady? And who has that edge? Does Nick Davila have that edge, or does Tommy Grady have the edge?
You know, I think we both got the edge. He's an outstanding quarterback. He's putting up ridiculous numbers. You know, and their offense is explosive. And he does a good job of taking what the defense gives you. And, you know, it's just going to be another a duel in the desert. You know, he's a good quarterback, and we're just going to try to match what he does on the field.
Nick, we really appreciate you joining us. Like we said, we'll all be watching tonight. Good luck. We're excited. This is best match of the week.
Yep. Two good teams.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. All right, bye-bye.
That's some good guests.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear from one of the greatest AFL quarterbacks of our time now.
Yeah, I mean, like I asked him, you know, he's about to be the first quarterback in pro football history that has ever thrown for 100 touchdown passes in three consecutive seasons. And more impressive than that, he's done it in his first 3 years in the league. You know, he had the AF2 experience, but Nick Davila and Tommy Grady are as good quarterbacks as there are in the league right now, and you know, it's just fun to watch.
It's great to watch, and fans, it's your turn. Feel free to chime in. Give us a call, 347-324-3225. Again, 347-324-3225. Who do you think has the edge? Is it Tommy Grady or Nick Davila? And also, we heard what PJ Barry said about Iron Man football. It would be a different game. Does he like it? I mean, he's not a DB. You could see PJ Barry playing DB. What do you think about these fans? Give us a call, 347-324-3225.
I've seen PJ Barry play DB, and he's a real good receiver.
He's a good receiver.
he's a real good receiver and a kick returner.
Don't let that man backpedal.
No.
He can't move backwards.
He goes forward really well.
Yes. PJ, welcome to Contender or Pretender. Everybody in the studio is clapping. This is their favorite part of the show, Contender or Pretender.
That's great.
All right.
First time we've done this segment.
First time. And they already love it.
Yeah.
They've jumped on board. They love it. Okay. I'm going to ask you. We're going to start here in the National Conference. You're going to tell me, I'm going to spout out a team, and they're going to say contender or pretender. The San Jose SaberCats, obviously, big win last week over the Chicago Rush. They're tweeting. They're tweeting. Contender or pretender?
You know, I want to say contender, but honestly, this team is a little too Jekyll and Hyde for me. I'm going to say pretender.
Okay. So hopefully Darren, our bet, doesn't have a – you have the bullseye on your back now.
I've been there before.
They have to put it together. And, you know, they really – last week after that win, they haven't seemed to have found a win after that big win against the Chicago Rush last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They look really good on the road where Chicago hasn't lost yet this year. They go in, they beat them. But the week before, you know, they're at home and they're losing to Spokane. They're dropping 90 points. So they can certainly make a run. I'm not going to doubt Mark Grieve and James Rowe for a second. But right now – I don't know.
Talk about guys that are up there in age. And real quick, during our contender pretender, we're going to take a call from the 770. Welcome to Arena Football Friday Radio. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good, thank you.
Who are you speaking with?
My name's Taylor. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a big old Georgia Force fan.
Hey, how do you like our boy Moniz out there? How's he looking?
Oh, honestly, best quarterback I've ever seen play for the Georgia Force, without a doubt. He dropped 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. I was very impressed.
All right. You really had a nice second game there last week.
Yeah, Taylor. I was kind of concerned when he came for that first game and we got a loss, but after watching him play live, he looked incredible.
Taylor, Georgia Force, contender or pretender right now in the American Conference? If the playoffs ended today, they would be the number 3 seed. Contender or pretender?
I say contender. With the new quarterback coming in, I think we can do it. We got some good receivers. Shea Hodge looked outstanding. Larry Shipp, CJ's back now from injury, I think. I think our defense is finally starting to come together. I think we're a contender. We'll see, but those playoffs can do anything, but I'm really hoping for the home field advantage because that would really help the Force, definitely.
DJ, what do you think? Georgia Force, contender, pretender?
Boy, you know, anything can happen in that American Conference South Division. I can see Taylor being excited about Bryant playing quarterback down there. He looked real good last week. I'm going to say the jury's still out, though. I need to see a little bit more film. I'm going to say hung jury here.
So you have them pretenders.
All right.
So just taking a look at other Hawaii QBs, I was pretty impressed with Moniz and his play. I'm actually going to connect with him next week. Colt Brennan was released from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders late, so that's what Colt Brennan doing. And our boy Timmy Chang, he's actually a college football coach, so there's some Hawaii football action. Taylor, what do you think about the Iron Man game? If we went to the Arena Football League as its original and returning to the Iron Man game,
what do you mean? What are the changes and stuff?
As in players playing both sides. I mean, we see it now a little bit, but we're talking, we had P.J. Barry on early. You don't say a P.J. Barry playing wide receiver and defensive back.
Well, I think it worked out kind of good. You get to see players, how they can play different roles in the game. I think it'd be kind of cool, but I still think that most of the players need to stick to the positions they play. Probably, it'd probably be better for the game and the field and stuff, because I know with me playing football and stuff, it's tiring to play both sides of the field. I feel like people would be more at the top of their game. If they're playing just one side of the ball, I think more exciting stuff can happen, those big hits, those big plays, because people won't be that much fatigued. But, I mean, the idea is still not bad, but to look at it from that standpoint, I like it.
Hey, Taylor, we appreciate the call. Best of luck for Georgia Force, who, according to you, are contenders.
Oh, yeah. All right, I appreciate y'all having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Georgia Force contenders.
You know, they were – I thought they were hurt badly when Tracy Belton went down with the injury because, I mean, he had, what, 10 picks through the first half of the season. And when they lost Archer, you know, there were question marks. But if they've got a quarterback now, they certainly have a whole lot of talent on the team. So Taylor could be on to something.
Two big questions. San Antonio Towns, Arizona Rattlers. Who are the contenders? Which one is the pretender?
That's a tough one. And you know what? I'm going to go with the Arizona Rattlers being the contender and San Antonio being the pretender.
San Antonio.
I think Nick takes Aaron in this round.
I like it. Hey, Aaron, we're sorry. We have to give you this.
It's not that San Antonio's not a talented team, because they certainly are. But the last time they lost, it was to Nick Davila and the Arizona Rattlers, and they lost by 34 points. So, I mean, that's kind of what I remember, even before this 9-game win streak, which is certainly very impressive, and they deserve an immense amount of respect for that. But I guess we'll find out next week when the Rattlers and Talons square off again. Who's the contender? Who's the pretender?
And
who's playing the best football right now?
And another interesting question is New Orleans-Jacksonville. Who is the contender? Who is the pretender?
I'm going with New Orleans as a contender. I love their defense. You look at the turnover margin. That's why New Orleans is going to triple their win total from last year. Jacksonville, you know, it's not the same team that won the Arena Bowl last year. You know, it's tough to defend. It's tough to defend in this league right now with the way contracts are structured, the way players move around. Jacksonville, you know, they're good enough, but I don't think they're on the level of Arizona, San Antonio, Philadelphia quite yet.
And you got to do it with a running quarterback in Bernard Morris. He isn't that soft-touch passer that you see in successful quarterbacks in the AFL. Now, I love his game. I'm a huge fan of Bernard Morris. But.
Yeah, and I think he forces defenses to prepare differently for him. And, you know, that's important because you have to focus on something different for this matchup and take focus away from other things that you typically focus on during the week. So, you know, Bernard Morris can be an effective quarterback in the AFL. But, you know, they just haven't consistently put it together enough for me to say that they're true contenders this year.
The Jacksonville Sharks.
Sorry, guys.
So, sorry. Philadelphia Soul, contender?
Absolutely.
I would say so. And can Dan Radovan get it done? He was
getting it done so far.
Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week last week. We only have, and he was voted MVP. We only have a short time on. We'll run down the games real quick. Out in the American Conference, we have the Cleveland Gladiators at the Orlando Predators. The Gladiators 7-8, the Predators 2-13. That one's 7:30. Tonight, we'll see what Chris Leak will do in that one. The Milwaukee must take on the Jacksonville Sharks in Net 10 Arena Football Friday on NFL Network. That one kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Like you said, take a look at Bernard Morris. Let me know if he's a contender or pretender. The Tampa Bay Storm will face the Pittsburgh Power in Pittsburgh. We have P.J. Barry on today, a great guy to have on the broadcast. We'll see how he can finish out the season. Spokane Shock will face the Philadelphia Soul, and that game is going to be a bit interesting. I think that one is interesting.
Definitely. The last time the Soul lost was to the Shock. Terrence Sanders had 3 picks over Dan Rodabell there, but Terrence Sanders isn't playing this week.
In the National Conference, we have the Utah Blaze at Arizona Rattlers tonight. It's a late one. It's at 10 p.m. Eastern time, but we'll all be watching. The Barnstormers will take on the Command tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. The Voodoo will face the Sabercats in San Jose, 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night. And on Sunday in Chicago, we will see the San Antonio Talons face the Chicago Rush at the 4 p.m. Eastern matinee. Guys, we appreciate you joining us on Arena Football Friday Radio, Week 18 edition. Next week, we'll keep you posted on a bit of a time change, but thanks for listening.